The Dawn Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Good morning, Dawn Stensland here as we look to now flood-ravaged Florida, much of the state. We talked about the briefing by Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, by all accounts being praised for his leadership as now the rescue crews, recovery crews, first responders are throughout Florida, those power crews trying to restore power to millions of people in Florida. And the cleanup obviously continuing in five other southern states this morning. And so many private folks just heading that way, making their donations from our area here in Philadelphia and beyond. Many Red Cross volunteers and people in the private sector, first responder type people just going to help. So that's one of the big stories, the heroes after the storm. Let's bring in my next guest, who is Kash Patel, senior advisor to President Trump for national security and intelligence, somebody who has been on tour, if you will, with former President Trump, who was just here yesterday in Pennsylvania. And Kash Patel is somebody who is, I mean, you were a Pentagon chief and you were widely complimented by, you know, really advising Trump amid the quote-unquote intelligence community and helping him navigate through that and see through all that bureaucracy. Good morning. Thanks for being here.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So I know that I'll begin with, you know what, since you, I know you were on the tour, the bus tour through North Carolina. Did you want to talk about that a little bit as far as people recovering, what you're seeing on the ground?
Yeah, we're in the eastern part of the state this week and the western part of the state next week. That was the, you know, that was really ravaged by Helene. And then after that, we're coming up to Pennsylvania. So it's nice to see the state come together and so many people show up and respond to President Trump's message of putting America first and repairing our communities in need rather than shipping our money overseas for another man's war. I mean, it's a pretty powerful and simple message that's really resonating with folks down here. It's just sad that it took such a disastrous natural disaster to shine some light on it.
Yeah, it's so true. Take me through as far as, you know, your wheelhouse, and this is national security, thinking about, well, I'll take you to this. Israel, I know that you had a lot to say, and this was the week, this entire week, as we think about not just October 7th, but Israel, I know that President Biden just had that conversation with Netanyahu, was more interested in holding that news conference, not from the Oval Office, not talking about helping our great ally as far as Israel, but rather choosing to go from another backdrop so that he could talk about the campaign and blast Trump. And that was unfortunate. Somebody tried to talk to him about Netanyahu, and his comment was, we didn't talk about the storm. So take me through what you see 1 year later, this tragedy that's unfolding, this hot mess, if you will, in the Middle East, and what you see through obviously your skill set.
Yeah, look, Trump brought peace to the Middle East, literally and definitively. And President Trump and Kamala Harris have weaponized the national security apparatus, including the Defense Department and the intelligence communities, to politicize their campaign efforts. Remember, it's the Harris administration that walked them back into the Iran nuclear deal, which means Iran got a nuclear weapon. That's the title of the deal. It's the Harris administration that gave Iran $7 billion a year and a month ago. And what did Iran do, the largest state sponsor of terror? Launched a world war through their proxies and mercenary forces into Israel, our ally, who is still holding American citizens hostage, the Iranian mullahs and their mercenary forces. And Joe Biden and Kamala Harris can't get them back. And that's the reality. They're shipping our money overseas to manufacture world wars, and they are not taking care of our people devastated not only by Helene, but by Milton down in South Florida. We're just recovering from that. And that's the agenda they care about, is making Washington, D.C. happy at the expense of America and our allies.
And so, you know, when most of us look at, you know, these natural disasters happening in the southern states as well as Florida, the by the way, the severe solar storm, we're seeing that headed to Earth and stressing power grids. They're saying we're getting those alerts. So how does the fact that there is this focus and billions of dollars spent on other parts of the world that are a mess now. How does that impact, if you would, our national security?
Oh, monumentally. Digs us deeper into debt by shipping money overseas instead of reconstructing America and creating jobs here like President Trump will in the manufacturing sector. Instead of delivering food, water, aid, and shelter to the people in need here, just this week, Harris shipped $8 more billion to Ukraine. Included in that $8 billion to Ukraine was natural disaster relief funds for the Ukraine. I'm not making that up. She also shipped $150 billion to Lebanon. And then what do? They came out and promised, oh, maybe we'll give $750 to folks on the ground in America. If you took a fraction of those funds and sent it to North Carolina and Georgia and Tennessee and Florida, these communities could be up and running in no time. But you're taking our money, not theirs, our money, and shipping it overseas, just like they did when Zelensky came to Pennsylvania to sign American-made bombs. They care more about another man's war than they do about the folks in their own backyard.
You know, earlier this week, I think it was, and we had dug out some different audio of Reagan back in the, you know, 83-ish, President Ronald Reagan talking about this technology that nobody knew what the heck he was talking about. And then playing Biden a couple years later, bashing Reagan for this magical type of idea that was crazy and ridiculous. And then it was from the Reagan Library, put out some things. And then you fast forward to the Iron Dome and Israel's ability, thanks to that type of technology. This is your wheelhouse, correct? Like, this is the kind of thing that you look to the future with and think about our national security.
Yeah, absolutely. And President Reagan was absolutely right looking to the future, as was President Trump when he prioritized our Department of Defense to go after our enemies, not just the terrorists in Iran, but across the world, the narco traffickers, and to secure the border. When it comes to prioritizing national security, President Trump made it no secret that he wanted to end the forever wars, and then he wanted our allies in Israel to be standing up on solid ground with solid defense and infrastructure. And President Trump brought those allies, like Israel, weaponry and machinery that they needed to defend themselves and, importantly, defend us, America. And that's the simple difference. You don't have to be a national security expert to see it. Kamala Harris and Joe Biden continue to light our money on fire in the Ukraine. They launched by funding Iran $7 billion. They allowed them to launch a world war into Israel. So President Trump's national security message was dominant and successful, and not to mention the fact that he brought home American hostages, which are still trapped in Iran's grasp.
You know, I look at your book titles, and it tells it all, but it leads me to a lot of questions. One of your books that I had read, you know, that was great about the plot against the king, but in the latest one, which, I mean, I love your books, but the latest
one
that I look forward to coming out is Government Gangsters, The Deep State, The Truth, The Battle for Our Democracy. So let's just, wave the magic wand, and to the delight of many listening right now here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, let's just say November 5th, yes, it's Donald J. Trump. He's the choice of the people. And the one and only Kash Patel. Now, you are advising number 47 on the deep state, the truth, the battle for democracy, and what you would do about those agencies like the FBI, like the CIA. So what's your advice to Trump president number 47 on this issue?
Well, we're going to work tirelessly to make sure that he is victorious on November 5th. That's the first and only mission right now. And Government Gangsters with President Trump turned into a bestseller, and he called it the roadmap for 2024. He did, and he said it was a blueprint to taking out the swamp. All my ideas are in there, from personnel and leadership positions and canceling contracts that are going to waste, but also doing things simply, like the 51 Intel letter folks. We're going to take their security clearances and suspend them permanently. The 741 national security folks that are living off the defense industrial complex who signed a letter endorsing Kamala Harris for political reasons. We're going to take their security clearance. We're going to have a truth and transition committee where we are going to continuously put out documents from the government. That's my opinion, documents from the government to expose their corruption that they've withheld from the American public. I think Elon Musk has spoke to it with Donald Trump. And those are just some ideas. But more importantly, we're going to go to Washington, D.C. and gut the swamp that has built itself for the last 50, 60 years and defeat the uniparty that has been running that town and return Washington, D.C. to return to the American public.
And so, you know, can I ask you something? Because I was looking at somebody like Liz Cheney, who was considered a very conservative individual for a long time, and obviously, you know, famous father. And I was trying to figure out the Venn diagram, if you will, that she would share with Kamala Harris, which is zero, except for the fact that it's, to me, with somebody like Cheney and her last name, I thought, well, this is a person. There was something personal. And then when I look at, you know, somebody like you at your high level, where you're talking about that the highest levels of government, that they've been infiltrated by these, you know, what you call an anti-democratic, you know, deep state. So should I be looking, you know, and I haven't read this, Your Government Gangsters book. I did read your others, but I will say this. Do you see more than I'm seeing? I'm just saying, oh, it's they have a personal thing. But is it more than that? Is it deeper than that?
Oh, yeah. And it's not a Republican or Democrat thing. There's a glossary of government gangsters in the back of the book in alphabetical order, just to name like 60. But it's a uniparty thing. And Cheney's a perfect example. Her father launched a war in Iraq that was based on a lie to fund his defense company, Halliburton. And they've been building that company billions and billions of dollars over, and now it's up to Cheney to run. And it's a great example. And again, you have folks like Bill Barr and Gina Haspel and Mark Esper. And you have things like the disinformation campaigns from January 6th insurrection, the 51 Intel letter, Russiagate. All of these folks have been revolving in and out of D.C., and some are back in power in the Biden administration at DOJ and FBI, and we've seen how they've become weaponized, the two-tier system of justice. Is their arm weapon of choice. And so it's not just shallow. It is deep and entrenched, and it must be wiped out. And that's why they fear Donald Trump. He started the job in his first term, and he's going to finish in his second term by exposing their corruption. And they are terrified of that.
Kash Patel. So Government Gangsters, I love the title of the book, and we appreciate you. Be safe as you're on the road now with former President Trump. Kash, thank you so much.
Thanks so much. We'll see you in Pennsylvania week after next.
Yes, will do. Pennsylvania. And like I say, Trump was here yesterday. I know Obama is here today. And then J.D. Vance, kind of up in my neck of the woods, because I can see Montgomery County from my house.
Oh, can you?
You know, that was like, remember that was Tina Fey. Sarah Palin never said, I can see Russia from my house, but Tina Fey from our area obviously made that famous.
So I don't want to be that guy, but Wasn't it kind of settled that you can indeed see part of Russia from Alaska? I don't know. I don't know what the eventuality was on that situation. But
she never said it. That's how good Tina Fey is. Was it that imitation? But, I mean, J.D. Vance coming next Tuesday to Lafayette Hill. That's big.
That's awesome.
That's exciting.
That's really cool.
Yeah. So, Kash, thank you for setting him up. He's good.
The side effect of this election coming is just these awesome events that just keep happening all over the area. You heard him from Hope earlier, and you hear, you know, Kash now. He said, see you in a couple of weeks when the Trump bus comes to Pennsylvania, and he just had Trump here yesterday. It's fascinating to see what a primary swing state in a very important election can bring from event situations, and it's awesome to have her here in the area.
Indeed. And I have to ask you guys, because Nick Cale and I earlier, we were disagreeing about the big announcement that Trump is going to be in NYC, and that's coming up on a Sunday. I think it's the last Sunday in October, if I'm correct, like the 27th of October on a Sunday. So, you know, Nick said he didn't understand why, or, you know, he just didn't think it would be that big of a deal. He should be in a swing state, and we were going back and forth.
I don't know. I'm kind of with Nick.
What do you think?
Kind of with Nick on this.
You're with Nick.
Yeah, I New York, you got to think about it. Like Philadelphia, Wells Fargo was mentioned too. I heard a caller or somebody mention it. It's not a good idea because you think of the state surrounding, and Wells Fargo is kind of the same thing as Madison Square Garden. I don't think people are flying in and paying for $1,000 plus trips to come see Trump at Madison Square Garden. And I think what draws a lot of times when you do boxing events, UFC events, wrestling events, it's the local area. It's Connecticut, New Jersey, Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
And the only one that mentioned that I think is important in this election is Pennsylvania. You're not going to draw people from Massachusetts, Connecticut to a Trump rally, I don't think. And I think even at like Wrigley Field, where you have Wrigleyville that can be completely taken over by the camaraderie of Trump fans rather than something like Madison Square Garden, where the camaraderie of Trump is going to be lost on the outside. Like I think it would be an awesome monumental event for him to. And I think, along with Nick, how he could, you know, he said he could sell at Citizens Bank Park. I think he could take on Wrigley. And can you imagine Trump at Wrigley and Wrigleyville with all the Trump supporters out at the restaurants there. I think it would be a really cool sight to see rather than something like New York Madison Square Garden. And I get the headlining. I mean, WrestleMania, Madison Square Garden. It's always like there's something there with that name.
Yeah.
I just don't know if it sways really anybody in the election like it would. And the sad thing is, with all this attention he's giving to these swing states, and I really, as I just said, appreciate it, I think a lot of the flyover voters in the Midwest have kind of gotten lost, and he should do a big re-energizing of the Midwest right there in the center in Chicago.
So Chicago, Wisconsin, you think that would be better?
Yeah.
So what do you think? 855-839-1210. We'll take a quick break. I'll give you more of my take on why I think it is brilliant. And I'll give you a tease. It's psychological warfare, and it involves the national media. Just wanted to get your take as we think about Donald J. Trump in the heat of the final weeks of the campaign. And so do you think that it's a wise use of resources, of time? They just have booked. Is that a little Trumpish? No. Just booked Madison Square Garden in New York City. Why New York City? So I'll give you my take, more on my take in just a moment, but just some of your calls.
Yeah, we got first off, let's go to Frank. I want to celebrate Frank in South Philly. It's something to celebrate here.
Hey, Frank.
What do you got?
Hey, Dawn, Dan, how are we doing this morning? God bless you.
God bless you.
Greg Pullman. My sister, Rose Crinity Jefferson, just got sworn in to be an American citizen after 66 years in this country.
God bless.
And once a year, I will call her up and say, listen, I'm going to deport you if you don't go for your citizenship. You can sworn in. And she finally did it in Mount Holland over here in New Jersey, because she lives here in Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a great honor and a privilege to be in this country after 66 years that we've been in here. It's still great, and I hope we could bring it to what it originally was 4 years ago. And one other thing I would like to turn to all veterans. They're invited to the Veterans Memorial Ceremony that we have here at 18th and Bigler. The exact address is 2900 South 18th Street. And it's not just for all veterans. It's for anyone who lives in this country, this great country of ours that I've been living here since 1958.
Beautiful.
The station and also the people are invited. And we do it every year for the past 3 years that we've been doing it, that I've been doing it. And I belong to the post, VFW post 8714, in case anyone would, in Glendora, New Jersey, in case anyone would like to, find out some information.
Okay. Frank,
I built this memorial for the veterans. Oh. And every year we'll have the ceremony there. And you are as well, anyone on
Thank
the station.
You. And when is it welcome. Again? When is it again?
It's November 8th, November 10th.
November 10th, so it's after. So we have time. So let's promote it. Let's keep it going, because I have this great interview coming up. So we'll put it out there, and I want you to stay on the phone, and I want Jimmy to get your information, because I want to put all the information out, and we're gonna put it out on social media, okay? So we'll promote it, Frank. I apologize, because we're TikTok. We have so much to pack in here. So we have a great interview that Dan set up with a very famous, important, elected Republican woman. So we want to get her, take on that. And as far as Trump holding the rally, I mean, you talk about chutzpah, holding the rally in Biden's hometown of Scranton yesterday, not just the rally in Reading, where he's still going after the Hispanic vote, which he's banking on that one. What's that? I can't hear you.
I just whispered in your ear, one more call before break.
Oh, one more call real quick. So you have him, going to Scranton, Biden's hometown. Now he's going to New York City. So one more call. Who do we want to go
to? Yeah, I just want to get him in. No, it's Jason in Michigan. We'll get Julian at some point here. But Jason in Michigan, right on topic here. He's talking about his rallies and the Madison Square Garden rally, and he has a suggestion as to where he should do one.
Hey, Jason.
Hi, thanks for taking the call. He needs to make sure he's got a big enough stage for Marjorie Taylor Greene so she can do a full presentation on the weather modification machine.
Look at this troll calling us in.
Look.
He said the big house in Michigan, like he was going to get down to 10,000 people.
I thought he was going to say, because, she does the CrossFit thing, and I thought he was going to say so she could have enough room on stage to do like a bunch of backflips, because she's very fit. I know. I haven't talked about any of the different. I have friends from southern states and Florida sending me pictures of clouds, and I'm fully aware of it. Dan and I have had a conversation
about that. Yeah.
So I'm not. I'm just going with. First of all, we're packed with interviews, packed with breaking news, and there's so much happening. It's not that, you know, if you want to call about all that stuff, that's cool. I get it. I'm just, whether you think it's Mother Nature, whether you think it's the weather, whether you think it's the power of Mother Nature, whether you think it's God judging us, like, you know, like maybe you think you're Noah and we need an ark, you know, whatever that is, I'll take, always have the conversation. But I'm also talking about reality, and I'm talking about what's happening right now and what is tangible, what I can wrap my arms around and just bring you that news and that information. So that's what we're trying to do here. Pack it with info.
A Harvard student calling for the mass murder of African Americans is not protected free speech at Harvard, correct?
Our commitment to free speech.
It's a yes or no question. Is that corrected? Is that okay for students to call for the mass murder of African Americans at Harvard? Is that protected free speech?
Our commitment to free speech.
It's a yes or no question. Let me ask you this. You are president of Harvard, so I assume you're familiar with the term intifada, correct?
I've heard that term, yes.
And you understand that the use of the term intifada in the context of the Israeli-Arab conflict is indeed a call for violent armed resistance against the state of Israel, including violence against civilians and the genocide of Jews. Are you aware of that?
That type of hateful speech is personally abhorrent to me.
So that is the GOP's rising. She was known as a rising Republican star. I'd say she is now that star. But this is the Congresswoman Elise Stefanik. And she really knew how to put the heat on the Harvard Prez, of course, helping to topple her and illustrating what we felt here in Philadelphia, obviously at UPenn. But a Republican congresswoman, a mom on the move, and she has been targeting that deep institutional rot. And I'll also say that she was pretty tough putting the heat on Cuomo. That was another hearing about his $5 million book deal. But let's bring in now, honored to have a Congresswoman Elise Stefanik in the House. Thank you. Yes.
Great to be with you.
Absolutely. So I know that now you are a mom on the mission. You have your baby has just turned 3, is that right?
He did, yes, he just turned 3. And I will tell you, you know, I was elected to Congress 10 years ago, the youngest woman ever elected at the time, and I've gotten married, I became a mom, and it has given me more energy than ever because it's just a reminder of what we're fighting for, that we are really wrestling for what this country is going to look like for the next generation, and just seeing this deep rot and this radical leftism taking over our schools and different institutions in our society. It's the American people that are going to save the country. So I'm really working hard to make sure that we have Republican wins up and down the ballot.
And so, you know, and I always say about you, Congresswoman Stefanik, you have your priorities in order. So if anybody, we should all be following you as I've been following you on social media, but on Twitter, on X. Number one, you've pinned, obviously, the birth of your baby. Number two, New York is Trump country, and you have Trump. You know, and so, and number three is border safety, the nightmare at the northern border, which is affected, you're affected by, obviously, in your constituents because you're in New York. When you look at the border issue going on, whether it's the northern border, the southern border, what are you seeing, and why is this security issue an important, not just for our own communities, you know, security, but national security? What do you see here, and when you're out and about and on the campaign trail?
And I want to know, I'm sorry to interrupt, but also the spin by Kamala and Walz out there trying to blame Congress for the situation at the border as well. It's ridiculous. Sorry, Dawn.
No, that's okay.
No, well, it's really important that we talk about this. Mm-hmm. This is the number one issue across the country, that and the economy. And the American people are smart. No amount of spin from Kamala Harris and the mainstream media will take away from the facts. And the facts are this. Joe Biden issued 94 executive actions to get rid of President Trump's border security policies. And you have in this administration and Joe Biden and his open borders are Kamala Harris, just a lack of respect for the rule of law, a failure to enforce the laws on the books. we know what a secure border looks like. It looks like the policies of President Trump. And make no mistake, House Republicans passed the Secure the Border Act, which would have ended catch and release, restored remain in Mexico, continued the construction of the border wall, and increased the number of Border Patrol officers. And Chuck Schumer and the Democrats refused to bring that up, and Joe Biden and Kamala Harris issued a veto threat. So make no mistake, it's Democrats that own this border catastrophe. They've had every day to try to fix this, and they haven't. It's gotten worse and worse under their watch. And every district is a border district. Every state is a border state. It's not just those that are contiguous to the border. If you look at the illegals that are being transported to states and cities across the country, if you look at the rise of illegals committing violent crimes against American citizens, and also if you look at the fentanyl poisoning, which is the leading cause of death for young adults aged 18 to 35, that's directly because of the failed of the wide open border policies and the failed border security policies with Kamala Harris, as Joe Biden's open borders are. And I want to talk about sort of a personal aspect of this from my district. I was just home all the way up on the U.S.-Canadian border in my district, listening to moms and dads. We had a round table, and it was the first week of school. They were putting their elementary age school kids on the school bus for the first time. Mm-hmm. And the illegal crossings are so bad, and really nothing we've ever seen in that part of the state or part of the country before. Illegals were around the school bus. The kids could not get on, the U.S. kids, my constituents, and Border Patrol had to be called in. Another story was a Labor Day parade. A family left their home, and they came home, and there were illegals in their garage. And, of course, they called the Border Patrol. So it's a catastrophe. It's something we have never seen before in modern times. And, again, it is because of Kamala Harris and Joe Biden.
Yeah, and when you look at this, and that's, I think, what Dan Borowski, our great executive producer, was referring to, is that, you know, this is, so there's the news story that's the real story, right, that is this crisis. And we see what's happening. We're living it across the country. And just like, you know, I know you've been to the Carolinas and the storm-ravaged regions and Florida, then when you look at the media or even our president and especially the vice president, it becomes the number one story for them is the rhetoric. It starts with Trump lied about ... rather than the big story, the real story, which is people in crisis. So how do Republicans navigate around that? And it's in part, you have a campaign of Democrats, but then you also have complicit with them, the media.
That's exactly right. And you're right. As families and hundreds of thousands of people in North Carolina have been really left without the support they need from FEMA and just abysmal, abysmal leadership from Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, this is buried in the news. And instead, they are continuing their anti-Trump just attacks day to day. And that's one of the things that is so great about President Trump is he just barrels through and refuses to allow the mainstream media to dictate how he communicates to the American people. That's why he does these rallies. That's why he expands and goes to places like New York and elsewhere where previously Republican candidates for president don't really go, because he is leaning in and he is breaking the really broken mainstream media. And one thing I've noticed, and I noticed it in the very important Senate race you have in Pennsylvania, it shows how much the Democrats are propping up, or sorry, how much the media are propping up these Democrats when you hear them in these debates. And the Republicans are just winning debate after debate, just like Dave McCormick did. And you see how less than mediocre these Democrat candidates and elected officials are. That is a trend we're seeing. And it happened at the vice presidential debate, too, that Tim Walz had been propped up by the media and J.D. Vance absolutely dominated that debate, just like Dave McCormick did against Bob Casey.
And so, you know, speaking of that, with, let's say that you serve with somebody like a Dave McCormick, he'd be a newbie, right? He'd be a newbie because he's never been elected to office before. And so what's your advice as far as somebody, and I mean, you're barely 40 years old yourself, and many say that you're part of this new generation, J.D. Vance, other young and upcoming Republicans, and kind of redefining the revolution of Republicans and the party. But what's your advice to somebody like a Dave McCormick who wants to join you in the Senate?
Well, Dave McCormick, I will tell you, he is a friend. I've known Dave McCormick for a number of years, and he supported me when I first ran for office, and I'm proud to have endorsed him. I'm proud. I'm going to be with him later on this month in Pennsylvania on his bus tour, as well as the Bucks County Republican dinner, so I'm excited to do that. Dave is a tremendous leader. He has the business experience, and most importantly, he's connected to the values of Pennsylvania. He is connected to just growing up how he did with his family, and the fact that he is a native Pennsylvanian, that is going to help him to deliver results. He's going to secure the border. He's going to rein in inflation. Dave knows how to get things done. You're not going to have a typical junior senator with Dave. He is going to hit the ground running on day one. I'm looking forward to partnering with him since I'm on the House side.
Yeah, thanks you're graciously saying that too. Thank you. I meant to, he is going for Senate. You're obviously a congressperson in the House. Sorry.
Of course, but I look forward to partnering with him. Another issue that he's going to lead on is energy independence. You have a Democrat ticket at the top with Kamala Harris, who supports banning fracking. That would devastate so many jobs in Pennsylvania. And how do I know that? Because right across the border in New York, we have a moratorium on fracking, and it's failed Democrat policies, and the jobs have moved to Pennsylvania. So Pennsylvania has gained. Again, as a reminder to your listeners, Kamala Harris wants to ban fracking, and that's how out of touch she is with today's economy.
And so take me through as far as being a mom. I've talked to Dave McCormick, who's running for Senate here in Pennsylvania, about being a girl dad between he and his wife, Dina. I think they have six girls. So that's a lot of drama. I'm a mom of boys. But as far as being a parent and thinking about the future and moving forward, how has that changed you over the past 3 years in your life?
It's changed me because it, again, reminds me of what we're fighting for. And it also ensures you experience these issues in a way that parents are. I'll give you an example. When Sam was still, he was formula fed after a few months, and this was during the formula crisis and shortage because of Joe Biden and Kamala Harris's failure to lead and demand accountability from the FDA. Diaper prices have skyrocketed. You see that as an elected official. Child care accessibility. Compare that to child care became more accessible and affordable under President Trump. He also doubled the child tax credit. So we are pro-family. And then I get to education. Because my son is 3 and starting his educational journey, you see the politicization in our school systems that are fundamentally moving away from American values. And of course, that is encapsulated and culminated in higher ed, just the moral and intellectual rot that was on display at the hearing with those university presidents who have since been fired, 5 of them. And that was long overdue. But these issues hit home, and that's really important. And I know Dave cares deeply about these issues as well. I know Dina, his wife, very well as well. And he is a very proud girl mom, and he's going to stand up for economic opportunity for all, and is just a great parent. So these issues impact us in the country we're leaving the next generation.
Yep. Elise Stefanik, Congresswoman Stefanik, thank you so much for joining me and for being gracious with your time. It's great to talk, and I hope that you'll come on again. Thank you.
Thanks, Dawn.
Have a good one. She brings me back when she talks about her little one, her little guy, Sam, 3 years old. And I always say to my boys, who are now 6'3", teenagers, Mom, yeah, can you drive me here?
I want to ask you the same question.
Mom.
It's been a little bit longer than 3 years for you, but over that
amount of
time.
Teenagers now, yes.
Yeah, how's it changed you, your perspective, looking at the future and such?
I don't even know what I did before I had kids, and I did a lot. You know what I mean? I had a successful television news career across the country and CBS Network and Fox 29, 10 o'clock news and yada, yada, yada. And I don't even remember. Sometimes I say to Larry, my husband, I'm like, what did we even do? I think we got more sleep.
It is wonderful being able to sleep in on the weekends.
Yeah. So there is a before and after, definitely, but it does change you. And I think
it changes a lot of political sensibilities. Like a lot of my friends, they go through a transition that when they start having that desire to have children, it becomes less a desire to make sure everybody gets something in the world and everybody needs, their handouts. And it becomes, what can you know, government, if anything, what can they do for me and mine, my family, my unit? And I think that turns people conservative to a degree. And that's why you have the notion of, you know, as people grow older, they turn more conservative. I think it's largely because of children and the family unit and trying to, you know, protect oneself, lower taxes, and everything you just heard from Representative Stefanik.
Yeah, and I know. I mean, I know for you and Maisie, this is what, you know, your future and thinking about. And so also, it's not just that. It's not just the partisan and the policy, but there's something else. And that is the indoctrination. And that is the schools and school choice and things of that nature. And then social media and the impact that social media has on kids. And so for I'm glad that our, you know, for Larry and I, you know, for Michael and David, we kept them busy. I would just say that keep them busy, because the busier, whether it's a part-time job when they become teenagers or the sports or theater or anything that keeps them away from that computer screen or that phone screen.
Yeah, once you hand them the screen, it takes over.
That's it.
I mean, it's purposeful. I mean, we can, at some point in the near future, we'll have to delve into my just complete hate and distaste for TikTok. One of the main issues I differ on with Dom and with Rich. I call for a outright ban on TikTok and the adversary government of China being able to indoctrinate our children in the way. All right, maybe I'm getting a little too far down there. Sorry.
No, but I think that so the point is, and I have friends and family right now dealing with this. So what they've done is that they band together and the parents all make a pact that the parents group, like let's say when they go to whatever their little Montessori or their preschool or their little play dates, and they say, hey, let's all get together. And they all get together at somebody's house and they say, let's all make a pact that we won't let our kids have a phone until they're fill in the blank.
So there's a organization my brother's actually he's launching at his school up in Massachusetts, and you can sign up for it yourself. There's a pledge. It's an official thing. It's called waituntil8th.org. And the notion is that if you can normalize the behavior of kids not having cell phones in school, they'll drop that FOMO kind of attitude. Yep. And I think it's something like 30% or so is all it takes for 30% of kids to not have phones. So this whole pledge, you can sign up waituntil8th.org and organize your own school to do it. My brother's doing it up there again in Massachusetts. And as you said, a lot of parents signing on to this kind of pledge, this pact with other parents to not let it happen with their kids, because what's happening now is kids, if they don't have a phone, they kind of feel like they're missing out on a lot of the social life that their other friends have. And that's both sad and unfair to that kid.
Yeah. And so I didn't even, I'm talking about people who have been doing this, and I will tell everybody about that. Thank you, Dan. Your brother he's right on the money, because that is, it's so important, because what happens is that even the kids will go, so it's not just on their parents. The parents say, well, how would you feel if you made a promise to your friends? Because we talk to doctors, we talk to experts, we talk to everybody. We all, as parents, we all love you. And we promised each other. You see what I'm saying? And kids get that. You know what I mean? What if you promised your best friends that you would protect, you know, their kids? So I can't give you a phone and violate that. So young kids as young as 8 years old want phones. So in any event, we got to go, but I got to talk about home, because there's no place like home. And Chapman Windows, Doors, and Siding, they have made my home more beautiful, more energy efficient. You can trust the Chapman family team. For the entire month of October, Chapman offering the chance to receive $1,000 in credit to a brand new front door. So all you have to do, send them a photo of your current front door. Everybody who sends that photo is going to get $500 in credit towards a new front door, but they're going to choose one lucky person with the door that they feel needs the most TLC. Okay. You are going to get that grand prize of $1,000 in credit toward a new front door from Chapman. So an updated front door, obviously it's going to boost the curb appeal, gives your home that instant makeover, that lift. So whether it's a single, double, or door with side lights, whatever it is, their experienced project consultants are going to help you choose the perfect front door for your home. You can call them. You can text 610-431-8898. Look at their website, ChapmanWindowsDoors.com, so you can see all about this October new front doors. This is a lot of fun. ChapmanWindowsDoors.com. Tell them Dawn sent you. So now the cleanup and recovery is underway in Florida, as well as the five other states. We've got Obama, by the way, in Pittsburgh today. Trump was here yesterday. J.D. Vance is coming next Tuesday. I mean, we're in the heat of the battle, the final 2 weeks here in Pennsylvania. Really loved all the interviews. Thank you, Dan, for setting all these up. And as well, I love the, you know, wait for 8th. That's incredible. I'd love to have your brother on sometime and talk about that and just get advice as to how other parents can sign on to that.
Yeah, waituntil8th.org.
Waituntil8th.org. And it's spelled out. E-I. All right.
Yeah. No, it's just
the 8th, the number 8?
Yeah, 8th.
Wait till 8th. All right. Great. It's incredible. Shows you the high-quality family you're from. So we have this going on.
So that's a very nice compliment you just gave there. Thank you.
Absolutely. So we didn't even get to half of what happened today. I am so thankful. I'm still getting texts and calls from family and friends. Thank God in Florida. My family and friends are mostly in the Fort Myers, Naples area because I worked at Wink TV way back in the day.
Yeah, people down there.
So I've still got. So they have flooding. Nobody has power. And so we're seeing all these images now of, you know, those first responders, many people from our area and still, you know, going down and just people are just trying to rebuild. And remember, a lot of them flooded just a couple weeks ago, less than a couple weeks ago. So this is what a mess. And so let's think about what Dan had said earlier, that I know that Dave McCormick, great, really looking forward to the Dave McCormick interview coming up, among other things, on the Dom Giordano Show. Hey, Dom.
Well, thank you, Dawn. Scott Presler was kind of running what happened in Reading yesterday with Latinos. We'll get a report from him. And the Inquirer, 11 printed pages trying to convince us that black men under 50 are not moving even slightly toward Trump. I doubt that. I think there's some evidence that that's happening.
That is protest too much. So, Dom Giordano Show is right now.
Dawn Stensland from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.